listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this program. My website is crosstheborder.org. And we're continuing our study here in 2 Corinthians. And wait a minute. Actually, we got to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. That's what we're going to pick up here. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men, forasmuch as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in the fleshy tables of the heart. And such trust we have through Christ to God's word. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and graven in stone, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses, for the glory of his countenance was countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. And of course, Paul here is talking about the letter of the law, the word of God that was given to Moses, and how the law was impossible to keep, to wholly keep, and the fact being that even if you could keep the letter of the law, as he referred to earlier, we have that sentence of death in ourselves already. So we're going to surely die regardless. But he says, if the ministry of the law from Moses was glorious, how much more is the ministry which we have in the New Testament, and that is of the Spirit and life. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. Plainness of speech, huh? Well, it must have been pretty plain when he was speaking it, but I think some of the plainness got lost in the King James translation. But let's continue anyway. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, and of course he's talking about his people, the children of Israel, they were called the people of God, or the Yahudi, or Yahudim. He says, nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit. Of course, Yahuwah, our Messiah, is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And of course, the liberty is from the condemnation of the strict letter of the law. Take it in context. It is the letter which killeth, but the Spirit which giveth life. We can have the Word of God, but without the Spirit of God, the Word is just death to us. But with His Spirit, we receive His Word. And of course, then we have it written in our minds and our hearts, not to our condemnation should we fail, but so that we can live a life that's pleasing to our Heavenly Father. And when we fail, we look to that Word, and we have it more indelibly written on our heart, because we desire to live a life that is pleasing to him. We don't fall into condemnation and all is not lost. Remember, we're already born with the death sentence. We all shall surely die. We already have that. How much more can the letter of the law give us than we already have? So we look to the Spirit for life and for redemption from that death sentence. We are free from the condemnation of the letter of the law. So he says, now the Lord is that Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Moving on to chapter 4 here. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. And how are these hidden things of dishonesty revealed to us? How do we know what's dishonest and what's honest? We have the word. We have the letter. But we're not condemned by the letter. We have liberty to look beyond and to be reproved by those things rather than be condemned by them. We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. And you know, this goes to the many I was talking about before. The hidden things. People even hide things from themselves. They'll hear something and they'll immediately move on in their minds to something else or immediately justify it somehow. They have the hidden things of dishonesty. But Paul says, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Search your hearts. Not walking in craftiness. Well, what kind of craftiness is he talking about here? The craftiness that would hide the dishonesty that's in us, the dishonesty whereby we justified the things that we did, or we just simply did them for another means, being deceived even. But once the deception is revealed, we hide. We have the hidden things of dishonesty, walking in craftiness. We justify, well, participate. I paid into that all my life. I deserve to participate in it, to continue in it. God would want me to be a wise steward. Craftiness. Let's get crafty where we can even use God's word to justify breaking his law. That's very crafty, isn't it? Not walking in craftiness, speaking of the hidden things of dishonesty. Nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach, not ourselves, but Messiah, Yahshua, the Lord, and ourselves your servants for his sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus may be made manifest in our body. 2 Corinthians 4:11, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore I have spoken, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Now there's a word I don't hear much, redound. What does it mean? Superabound. Another one of those old English words, I would guess. Redound. Superabound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. For we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, and here he's talking about what I talk about all the time, that moment when we come to the end of our mortality. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house made not with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. And yes, the older you get, the longer you go on, the more you yearn for that building, which will never feel pain or hurt, or will never fall apart. It will always function perfectly. It will never become broken down. You never have the fear of illness and becoming physically destitute, where you have to rely upon others. There's no occasion for traumatic experiences like accidents and broken arms and legs and broken bodies. We long for that. We long for that time. For we that are in this tabernacle, oh, I skipped one there. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle, oh, and I got to jump back to that one. For if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. And it makes me think about all of those who don't look forward to it, who have not entered into the kingdom of God so that they can remain there forever, but rather trust in dirt. They trust in evolution. They trust in being recycled into the universe and becoming one with the universe, because they think that when they die, that's it. That's their hope anyway. I'm not sure they really believe that. Perhaps if they tell themselves that enough times, they can persuade themselves, they can deceive themselves that that is the truth. But think if they stood before the mirror and they looked into the windows of their soul, I think they would have a hard time convincing themselves that, yes, I have no hope. The grave is all I have to look forward to. Stand in front of the mirror, all of you unbelievers, and look directly into your own eyes and say, I am without hope. Dirt is my hope. It's the greatest hope that I could hope for, because otherwise I'm going to be punished for my sins for eternity if dirt isn't truth for me. So I'm hopeless if my hope is just that I'm going to die and that's the end of me and I'm just going to be dirt. What kind of hope is that? That's no hope at all. But that's their greatest hope, because they're trying to escape the punishment for their sins. But look into your eyes and say, I can continue in my evil, because I'm just going to die and I'm not going to be punished. Why are you even worried about punishment? Why do you have to hope for dirt? Because you were made in the image of God. You're not a rabbit or a turtle or a horse or an ant or an insect just running on some program of instinct, some automaton, which has no choice but to obey its programming. No, because, you know, you notice I don't see many animals looking in the mirror into their own eyes going, what's going to happen to me when I die? Will I be punished for my evil? Can I continue in my sin? Maybe I'll just turn into dirt and there will be no consequences. Yes, that's it. I hope for dirt. I wish for dirt. I hope I'll just be dirt when I die. It's funny, but it's tragic. And that's the hope of most of the world. And then, of course, you have the whole deceived class out there that believes that certainly God loves me. And because God is love, that he certainly is not going to let me go to hell. And after all, I'm better than that other guy over there. I've never murdered anyone or robbed or, you know, or whatever. I'm not as bad, you know, as those other guys. And so I have all those that stand in their own self-righteousness. And you can just kind of move up the ladder from there. And there's going to be those, as the Messiah proclaimed, to stand before him that day and with all pride say, didn't I do great works in your name? While they rode the back of the beast and enjoyed their privileges from the beast and got and enjoyed their salaries and their pension plans and their medical plans and the nice houses and cars and all the from all of the tax deductible donations they received. Didn't I cast out demons? Didn't I heal the sick? Yes, there's going to be all kinds. That's the many. That's the majority. They are not the remnant. So if you look around, don't think you can be justified by the majority. Now you better find that remnant and start walking with them. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God. Verse 4, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon. And I was talking about all those who don't have this assurance we have. They're going to be found naked. When they die and go to the grave, they're going to be absolutely naked. You know what? I don't think anyone's going to have any clothes in hell, but they ain't going to be enjoying it. That's for sure. Because they're going to be naked, ashamed, and suffering. But we won't be naked. We're going to be clothed with righteousness, and we're going to be clothed with his righteousness. He's prepared an everlasting tabernacle for us. So we groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also has given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and are willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord, meaning we don't fear death. We are willing even to suffer death. Wherefore we labor that, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And we're going into a break here. We'll have to pick up when we get back. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Cross the Border.